Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, he talked about something about, you know, there was a time that you didn't have a drill. Uh-huh. And you actually, you know, screw the thing in with your hand, you know, with the fill up. You twisted the screw with the nut.
Yeah, those were awful days.
Well, you did it with your hand and muscles. And I think about all the people that work so hard, man. They work so hard in our nation to build it the way they have. And
that's right.
And listen to that commercial. We're gonna play a commercial here for you. And we're going to apologize for the sound in advance because it's not the best quality of sound. But we really want you to listen to the words. This is Paul Harvey. And Pat's a little bit more familiar with Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he kind of does this little talk about the farmer. And,
yeah.
And tell us about Paul. Who's Paul Harvey?
Yeah, he was a conservative radio host. He's been around for years and years and years. And he passed away, I think, back in 2009. But prior to that, I got introduced to him through my grandmother. She was listening to him on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go through these long, like, stories, and they were really, you know, just intriguing. And
right.
Then his famous line was, "Now let's hear the rest of the story." So he just like this cliffhanger, you know, you talk about this person, you know, and
yeah.
All these things that they did or whatever. And then you find out who it actually was. You're just like blown away. Like, no, get out. Really? You know, so it was just he's famous for that. You probably online. I'm sure you could probably listen to tons of his stories. But yeah, they were powerful.
Wow. Well, he has a great voice. And this is actually a Rams commercial, right?
Yeah.
That
a Dodge Ram car commercial. Yeah.
Okay. Truck commercial. Why don't you listen up and listen to what he has to say about the American farmer. Listen up.
"And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then paying in from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer."
Wow. How powerful is that?
Wow. That was amazing.
How powerful is that? We're going to make this available for you to watch on the torch. It's actually a commercial.
Yeah.
And the pictures are just so moving as well.
Oh, yeah.
But you think about, you know, America is the breadbasket to the world. You think about the corn, and you think about all the stuff that we grow, and all the fruits and vegetables. I mean, even in New Jersey, they call this place a garden state. I mean, it's just fruits galore.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be worked. You know, someone had to work it. The milk that we just poured in our coffee this morning actually came from a cow.
You poured milk in your coffee?
Oh, yeah, I use milk in my coffee. I don't use that foo-foo stuff that you use. I don't use flavor foo-foo stuff, Pat.
I use
right,
powder,
Chris?
Man. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, right.
I did. I'm serious. I quit.
Powdered foo-foo.
Oh, you quit the foo-foo? He quit the foo-foo. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's getting tough. He's getting tough in case we have any farmers listening to us.
That's right.
Well, I support the farmers and I drink milk. I just want the farmers to know that.
Mm.
But it's our appreciation for hard work. And I tell you, maybe we all need to go to a dude ranch or something for a week. No, we work hard. but a lot of you, we do a lot of young people well to go out there and see at physical labor and get out there and get involved and say, listen, it just doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. That's what I'm afraid. I'm concerned, you know, for our young people and just trying to get them involved and not to do the quick way out. You know what I mean? Get in there and get involved. Turn that mm-hmm. wrench and put that power. Pat can use the power drill, but you can't. You can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead and put that down. You don't know what before you hurt yourself.
Well, I tell you, you really appreciate a power drill once you've had to do that thing with your hand.
Oh,
you
I know that's right.
Well, our grandfather had a handheld drill that you had to crank.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got a lot of my grandfather's old tools, and it's the craziest looking thing you ever seen. Instead of electric drill, I mean, this thing had like a crank handle like this.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. And it would drill. I don't know how it worked, but I didn't try it. I was like, that looked like too much work.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they did it, yeah.
And then amazing, before they had nail guns and they're banging in nails.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think about the guys like that roof.
Yeah.
You know, now you're slapping those nail guns, but someone comes in there and roof your roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's some serious stuff. Serious stuff. That's what made this country great. People that weren't afraid to get out there and work and build and construct and put a hard day's work for a hard day's pay. We need to get back to those days.
That's right.
We really need to get back to those days and help our young people to see that there's value in that, that you don't have to run off and necessarily get a college degree, but you can be an apprentice, you can learn, you can get your hands dirty in there and build stuff and learn from wisdom from others that have gone before you.
That's how I learned. That's exactly what I learned. I don't need to go to school to learn what I learned. It was all by just, you know, thrown into it, you know, watching other people do it and asking questions and imitating what they did.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Then after that, you actually became a what we call a master fabricator. My goodness.
Well, I don't know about all that, but it sounds good on your resume.
I've seen your work. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of religious folks, you know what I'm saying, that bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose.
Saint shirts.
And it's like, come on, dude, listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks and come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah.
A lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But, you know, you can't, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
That's right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, if anything that I've been, you know, in my life and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah. You know, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another
one again? You know, I just took the nail out of your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, so and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as they, the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. And he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his, you know, Joseph, his a dream and say, you know, dude, in a dream. He had to say, because you couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news is always there. And he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life. Mm-hmm. And they take off and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to stay, be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed through in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, God, I prayed last night, and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream, and he said, listen, you know, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, you know, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing me a favor, doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, you know, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, you know? And it's like, oh. And then you start thinking about it. And I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin, but I got to say, the way he responded to him, when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them,
well, you
know, dead man's bones, mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I mean, I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And my goodness, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer, you're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're not a sheep because you said, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, we're not going to talk about the Pope today. But, or you said, you know, forgive me, you know, and I want you to be my savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, you know, in other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You know, you could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, you know, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not whether we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated it based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people, what was in their heart. Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen. Don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, you know, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, ma'am. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than be the one that's standing up around Jesus, who is seated down, criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus's mm-hmm. way of using finance, if you mm-hmm. would, in the ministry right there. But
we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. In my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But...
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But then he separates, he takes all the goats, and he says, listen, you're going to go because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not, and the fruit doesn't save us, but it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people, and it's amazing, in the name of God, how evil people can be, and the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face, and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, dear God, he said, my bones are wasted away. He says, I feel so isolated and alone. And even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened? You know what? He was a man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah.
It's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm. I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And then how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering. It doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself. You're going to stand before God, no witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like these things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just watch all this and live vicariously through others instead of, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in his will, this is what I want to do for him. I want to be able to be fruitful for him. I want to be the sheep that stands before his throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, and he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing when people have just a limited amount of talents. They can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know. Am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, oh, my goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that he's just expecting us to do, be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says, the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read. It's the same thing. I mean, are you going to talk about parties and you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her? And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister, or your brother, you wouldn't know about that.
You just kind of go,
right? Well, she did, or well, he did. It's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. Yeah. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something, even if we die doing it.
Well, guys, I know you guys probably don't have this problem. And I'm sure, because you're so perfect, and I just admire you guys. I mean, you're just,
come on,
you walk on water. You know,
that's Chris.
Your
that's
shadow, Chris. Your shadow's, you know, heals the sick. But, you know, but for me and, you know, most others, you know, there's times when we struggle and we struggle with temptation. It's interesting you brought up a scripture yesterday that just spoke to my heart. Believe it or not, it was yesterday. And when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what he says here, and it's really interesting. And the scripture's always thrown me for a loop because it seemed kind of out of place, what was going on there. But God just began to just speak to me big time about it. And he says, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here a while I go over here and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He says, stay here, keep watch with me. I can imagine what he was going through, but it's just, the only thing that's getting close to it is when you watch The Passion of the Christ, and you watch the torment that he went through. You know, as he knew that the hour was coming, it was just so close.
Right.
And then and it goes on to say, he says, and he goes a little further. This is Jesus, and he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed. He goes, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will. And I love what you said yesterday about, you know, doing the Father's will. And then his encouragers.
Don't you love those encouragers?
Yeah, exactly. Then he returns to his disciples, the ones that he brought with him to help him during this time. And he finds them sleeping. And he says, could you not keep watch with me 1 hour? And this is what he says to him, which kind of just threw me for a loop. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And you would think, you know, just imagine what was going on in Jesus' mind at that moment. And he was just, I mean, in another portion of scripture, it talks about how he was so just overwhelmed with grief and sorrow that he even sweated blood. I mean, I don't know about
sweat.
You. Blood, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know about you. I've never gotten that upset or concerned where I'm sweating blood. But he says, "Watch and pray so you will not fall in temptation." And those two things stuck out to me: is watch and pray. And if you look at the word temptation, and a lot of people get this confused with sin. Temptation is to be allured, to be enticed, to be appeal, bait, the decoy, to draw, to pull, to be seduced, to be snared or trapped. Temptation is not sin. It's what happens. It's what, it's a thing that we have to be aware of and pay attention to so we don't fall into sin.
Right.
It's the bait that Satan gives you, hoping that you'll fall into it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And which reminded me of this portion of scripture where when the disciples, you know, Jesus teaches how to pray. And one of the things he says in the Lord's Prayer, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So even when we pray, God's saying, pray that you don't fall in temptation.
Be alert.
You know,
right?
Just don't walk around blinded thinking everything's just going to be fine and, you know, everything, you're never going to have any problems and you just go about your day without, you know, paying attention. Because you need to pray about this thing. You need to watch, pay attention, look. You know, a lot of times what we end up doing is just doing damage control after the fact. After we just blindly walk into the trap that Satan lays for us. And if you're reading James, chapter 1, it says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So there's a process. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that just happened. Oops, I didn't mean to do
exactly.
that. No. It was the evil in your heart that let you fall for the trap that caused you to do the thing that you knew you shouldn't have been doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God supposed to speak to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah. His agony, by the way, his agony, the word says that his sweat was like drops of blood. He didn't actually sweat blood, but there were dropping, the sweat was, the agony was so much, they were just, you know, just coming off of his body mm-hmm. and his head. You can only imagine, but the word said is like drops of blood, not as blood, but
right.
But that's powerful what you're saying, because you're right, temptation is not, I mean, the word of God says that Jesus was tempted in every way, mm-hmm. yet without sin.
That's right. Exactly right. You know, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And he's totally aware of what we're going through. Even Jesus was tempted. You know, Satan took him out to the desert and tempted him. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit took him out there, but Satan met him out there.
Right.
Because he knows when you're going to be the weakest. He knows your weaknesses like nobody's business.
Right.
He knows the things that trip you up.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
He's always going to lay it out there and try and get you. But prayer, I mean, that is so important. We can pray. We can actually say, God, help me that I don't fall into temptation today. Mm-hmm. Help me be aware. Help me pay attention to the signs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then it says in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, and the reason we pray, because we're humble. We want to be humble before God because we need his help.
That's right.
Right? And it says in 1 Corinthians, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out that you can stand up under it.
Mm.
So there, he's given us tools. I mean, he's given us ways that we can prevent falling into these traps. Obviously,
that's right.
One, we pray, God help me. Two, he gives you a way out. You know, we all, it's so quick to just say, oh man, I did it again. Oh, I did it again. You know, like that. It's just,
yeah, yeah.
But you had a way out. You just chose
right.
not to take it.
And it's a way for every temptation.
There is a way.
A way. And the other thing too is that it's so amazing what you're sharing because it's powerful. The other thing is that, yeah, I mean, we can pray not to be tempted, and we should do that. And the Lord instructs us to pray that we're not tempted. But we combine the supernatural, which is prayer, with the natural, with common sense and wisdom, and we also avoid the place of temptation.
Exactly.
You don't want to be walking on the tiptoe of temptation and then say, God, pray. You don't mean walking on a ledge and saying, God, pray. I'm praying, Lord, that I'm not tempted to fall over this thing.
Exactly.
It's like, that would not be wise. So
exactly.
You want to use the supernatural and the natural, and you want to be able to draw a line that's way back from the place where you will be tempted, because that be using wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember in our small men's groups years ago, John, that, you know, we talked about this a lot, but you know, that's the power of the small group, you know, being in a small men's group or even, you know, women's groups, you know, is that we have that accountability. It's having those people in our lives that will hold us accountable so that when we are tempted, you know, it's not this battle that you take on by yourself. Mm-hmm. It's that you call your brother, say, hey, man, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
You know, you're putting it out there. It's being humble. Say, look, you know, I got this thing that's going on. I'm struggling. Help me, pray for me. You know?
Right. Exactly. That's
it's powerful because no man is an island. No woman is an island. I mean, they try to be an island. But when the attack does come, and believe us here, the enemy hates you. I mean, you will be attacked, and it's not going to be, I mean, it could be at any time, but knowing how evil the enemy is a time that you maybe least suspect it or you're weak. And so it's those type of relationships that you have, that you've built and you have, you know, developed, that you can call on in the time of temptation, the time that you are attacked, because you know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
You have a group together, you can stand strong, and not only that, but they can even hold you accountable to finding out, you know, well, are you walking on the edge of temptation?
Mm-hmm.
You may need to take 10 steps back and not put yourself in that place because,
right.
you know, you could be just setting yourself up for a fall. If it's a constant, you know, place of wringing your arm and your neck and, oh, my goodness, I've done this again. It's like, well, you're not on the edge. You're like tiptoeing like, you know, little Michael Jackson move on that line. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like any wind is going to knock you right over, you know?
God gave me this analogy this morning when I was praying and was meditating on this. All of a sudden, he just gave me this picture of a mouse. I don't know if you've ever had a set of mouse trap before.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember this issue. One time I had this mouse. He was a real smart mouse, obviously. Because I would set this trap for him. I'd bait it.
Yeah.
Put the cheese on it. Next day, the cheese was gone. But no mouse. The trap wasn't triggered. I'm thinking, what is the deal with this? Is this thing broken? What is going on? So again, I do this like a couple times. I'm like, something's up. So I get smart. You know, I'm messing with this trap, and you know, there's a real hair fine trigger on that thing. But apparently, it wasn't, you know, light enough. So I kind of mess with it to kind of make it more, you know, just where it would go off easier.
Right.
And then I stuck peanut butter on it the next time. So I dare you to take this off. So I stuck some peanut butter on there. Sure enough, buddy, the next day, boom, got it. Well, you know, that's exactly how Satan does us. He gets us where we think that, you know, if I just keep going back to the same thing and I'm able to, you know, get this cheese.
Oh, wow.
Get this sin, but nothing happened to me.
No consequence.
So he gets us coming back and coming back and coming back. Well, the next time when we think that we're, everything's okay, boom, that's when he breaks our neck and we go down. Because we flirted with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's when he gets us. He lures us in.
Yep.
He gives us more bait.
Yep. Wow. That's
while, you know, we're about to be destroyed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you got to be mindful. You got to be alert. You got to know that the devil, your enemy, roars around, roams around like a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. And he's seeking someone to devour.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. Right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting, and we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. So anyway, we didn't get to finish, John, about, I guess it's Friday or something, that we were at the fair, and we're walking to the fair, and we decided to get...
We Pat, you gotta be careful about this.
I can't remember. It was so long ago, you know.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah.
The we got on a zipper ride. All I know is that I just did what John said. Got on the zipper, and a zipper is like it's like a straitjacket made from metal. Yeah, it's like a chair that you're just kind of strapped in, and they close the door, and there's two people in there. You know, so John and I are sitting in there, and it goes up and down. Have you ever seen a zipper ride? Maybe we could show you a zipper ride on the blog or something. And John was talking about, you know, be careful. You know, I get sick or something like that. You know, I mean, you know, it's real difficult for me to be in movement and motion and stuff, and I don't have my Dramamine. So I forget what it was. No, I'm seriously. I mean, I just didn't think that, you know, that could happen. And so here we are. We're on this ride, and he spins us around. The guy flips us around.
Yeah. No, the guy's like, do you want to be flipped? I'm like, no, we just want to enjoy the ride. Of course, Greg's like, yeah, sir, flip us, spin us around. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is going way up, man.
I wanted to get my 25 cents worth.
Yeah, thanks.
So we're flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping. And I said, isn't this fun? And then I looked over at you. And you were sweat beads are coming down your head. And we're locked in this straitjacket of metal. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. It just dawned on me.
Yeah, that's going to do what, bro?
Yeah.
Like, right. It's about to happen. I'm like, don't you shake this thing. I'm going to eat stuff.
It dawned on me that you were serious.
I think, oh my goodness, he's about to woof his cookie in his straitjacket. And I'm thinking, oh man, of course I quit rocking it. But I'll never forget that look on your face, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
And the rest of the night, remember that?
Oh my goodness, man. I'm thinking,
this could be the moment. This could be the moment.
Oh, I just really believed at that moment when I looked at you, you know, and you were pale face and sweat beads coming down. I'm thinking, it's not going to be good. So I want to encourage you that when you are hearing somebody saying, you know, this could happen or that can happen, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for retaining all that junk food you eat out there.
Yeah, exactly. Because
we never did see it. It just wrote an invitation and said, I'd like to come out. You said no. And I'm very thankful for that.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Today, more and more, we're getting, you know, in this, when you go buy a product or you're thinking about buying a particular product, you go online and you start looking at people, how they evaluated that product. They tried it, they got it, they took it out of the box, and they just kind of share their, you know, the customers evaluate the product and services of that particular company. It's kind of pretty much how it started.
Give reviews.
And give reviews on it. And then, and it kind of, you know, we read it like it's the gospel sometimes. You're like, oh my goodness, this is great. You know, we go right to the one that has 5 stars, it goes right to the ones that have 1 star. You know, why did you put a 1 star down, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it got to the next level of where people started evaluating and giving reviews on individuals and companies who provided services, like painters and carpenters and I believe like Angie's List and people like that that are out there to be able to evaluate and give reviews on, you know, painters. So, quote, you can pick a good painter. And then it's got as far now where students are giving reviews on teachers in universities where they're all talking about their particular professor and their teacher, and they're evaluating them. And it's an amazing, you know, what I've seen is, you know, where you hear or you read a ranting from a Christian, a public posted ranting about a stupid product or a service that was rendered on their Facebook or on that company's feedback page. And it's like, you know, you blew your whole testimony of God while you're dogging this company out. It's like, really? Over what? Over Cheerios? I mean, what was that about? You really? I mean, isn't there a way to say something as a Christian that we can say things in a constructive way and talk about the good parts of a particular business and a company and then and acknowledge that, you know, I was reading one review about a thing that had to be put together. And the person that wrote it has no idea. You can read it and find out, obviously, they didn't read the directions. They're saying things like, the screws weren't long enough, and this didn't fit together. And they're just like, I'm ignorant.
I didn't read.
You know, I didn't read and find out this screw don't go in that hole. And, but, you know, people love that. Oh, man, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. But listen, I got to ask you this question. You know, in that critical spirit that's been used quite often, and they're literally, I believe they're suing people who put things up today and pressing charges. It's civil law, but they're saying they're putting up bad reviews, trying to destroy a company, something that wasn't true. And they're giving this kind of review about it. You can destroy a business.
Wow.
And if you really care about your business, you care about your customers, and, you know, and I've had businesses where, you know, the customer's always right. Right. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're right.
I do.
We won't talk about that. But the, because that's where your customers, where you get your, you know, that's, you give them a product or a service and they give you finances for it, and that's how it works. They might like you, but they want a good product and a good service. And without the customer coming in and purchasing your product, you're not going to have a business. You just got a good idea. And And so you want a good review. You would want somebody talking. So you want to make it right. If something happened, you say, "Well, how can I make this right? You know, let me just, you know, what do I gotta give you to resolve this? You know, do you need the product? What do you need? You know, I want to make it right with you because obviously you got offended at the way we were doing business or the product didn't make it, and you want to resolve the issue. And that's the reason what you should do as an owner, especially as a Christian owner. But the spirit about just jabbing at a business because it's some lousy piece of something that you bought, and we got 85% of the storage buildings in the world or in America, I mean, we got stuff. Mm-hmm. And just blasting this poor business owner, just blasting them because you couldn't get a screw in a hole or the box was broken when it got there. I mean, just tell them the box is broken. You don't have to ruin your testimony by telling the whole world that, you know, UPS messed your box up. I mean, they can't help that they're getting it to you, how they're getting it to you. Mm-hmm. But think about this. This will really help you out. This will really help you out when you think about putting reviews up on your teacher. Think about this. Think about this. Okay, I'll tell you what. Right now that my husband has a public review on me, and he's going to post up before the whole world what kind of wife I am, what kind of mother I am. Or your husband has a public review, and your husband's going to your wife has a public review, and she's going to do the same for her husband. Well, he's kind of good. Don't pick up his socks, you know, and he... You know, he's a good provider, but he doesn't talk much. Thank God I do talk. And then, you know what I'm saying? All that kind of stuff's going on. Or think about your kids evaluating you as parents. Oh, my goodness, they spend all their money on themselves, and they don't think about me, and they don't help me with my homework, and the whole world sees how flawed you are. Mm-hmm. Or think about your parents evaluating you as their kids. Oh, my God, narcissist. We're revolving around them. You know, all they think about is my birthday. Your birthday's in 12 months. Let's just get a break for a moment. Let's get a break. 12 months away. But you know what I'm saying? And imagine them evaluating you. Every time you start to evaluate a review, let's just tell it like it is. Every time you start to judge someone, understand, get ready. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." It's unfair for you to think that you could say that thing about that business or that company or that person or that book or that individual and not think you're going to get some backwash on that. Mm-hmm. And we're not like, I mean, it's getting more and more out there. I mean, get ready. I mean, you're going to get reviews. You know, the thing is, are you living your life before God that your reviews in heaven are good? Mm-hmm. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged with what measure you use. What measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Mm-hmm. So when you're ranting and raving over, you know, Nabisco product, you know, because a cookie was bad,
all right,
understand that's how you're going to be dealt with. Hmm. But there is a way to say, you know what? Obviously, this company's been around for 40 years, 50 years, a solid provider of jobs in our community. Have done some wonderful things. I looked at their website. They got some great community things they got going on. But there was a little thing with this particular product, but I contacted them and they made it right. I mean, that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you're being honest and you're saying that that's how you want to be treated. You're supposed to treat others the way you want to be treated. And he says, listen, why do you, verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in that business's eye? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in that poor painter man's labor? Why do you, speaking of specks, right? You missed a spot. Why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take care of the speck in your company. Let me take care of the speck out of your eye. Let me take it out of your eye. When all the time there is a plank in your own eye. You hypocrites, first take care of the plank in your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Listen, when you take Jesus' perspective on this, it helps you to understand, listen, ever how I treat other people is how I'm going to be treated. And so before you start dogging them out, think about how you want to be treated in your life. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. It's a good rule of thumb. You know, the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated, right?
That's right.
And it's like, do you really want people to treat you that way? That's sure not nice. And then you think about, if you've never been a business owner, talk to people that have been business owners. It's not easy. That's why not a lot of people are doing it. 3% of the world, or 3% of America, employs the other 97%. become an owner, then you can relate. It's not as easy because you got to hire people. You are a people yourself. You're human beings providing a product or a service, and everything's moving and changing, and it just everything's just fluctuating, and they're trying to stay consistent in their product delivery and their product service they're providing. And you can really empathize with how that's going and realize don't shoot down their entire existence because you got one bad product. You know, try to work it out before you start going publicly and putting something on that particular company. And there's some companies out there that make money on pointing out bad things about businesses and companies and those type of things. Realize we got to get back to a place of integrity. As Christians, we should be no posts. And I encourage you right now, if you have posts out there for some companies and on your Facebook where you're putting down a product or a company or a customer, you know, and that's not the way you want to be treated and that's not the way you want to be judged, you know, I encourage you to go delete it, remove it from your Facebook, remove it from the product, go hunt up all your little Amazon little things you put out there and all these little things and to say, is that how I want to be evaluated? Because I believe the day's coming that everybody's going to have a review page here on earth. But I know in heaven, we're all going to have a review page.
Oh, yeah.
And it needs to be covered with humility because whatever measure we use in our reviews of others is the measure God's going to use in the reviews of us.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN-TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout-out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFN radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN radio 24/7 live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day
on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.